This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. An old jail in Cincinnati's Queensgate neighborhood is being reborn into office spaces for artists, small businesses, and entrepreneurs. It's called Lincinnati, and the development is located in the former Queensgate Correctional Facility. Joining me now to talk about what it's taken to transform the space and what it means for the people renting space there and the Queensgate neighborhood are artist Tony Lips. Thanks for being here, Tony.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist Chris Wetterick. Welcome back, Chris.
Good to be here, Lucy.
And Arend Real Estate building representative Alec Lukey. Thanks for being here, Alec.
My pleasure, Lucy.
This building was the Queensgate Correctional Facility until it closed in 2008 because of budget cuts in Hamilton County. Chris, talk about how the building's been used in recent years.
Well, it was a correctional facility for a long time, and before that, I think it was some kind of, Alec can correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a warehouse space there, is that right?
Yes, it was a warehouse space from the 30s when it was built until it was a correctional facility.
And so it ceased to be a correctional facility and then was kind of, you know, up for sale looking for a vision, and the folks at Arend purchased it, and they have a vision for it, and it's a pretty interesting one given how Queensgate has you know, kind of, it's been a neighborhood the city hasn't known a lot about what to do with. You know, there's been a vision that, oh, maybe it'll be industrial, but there's still, you know, it's kind of a work in progress. So
yeah.
I think the hope is that this will spark other redevelopment there.
Well, I remember for a few months in the winter of 2020, it was kind of a day shelter for people experiencing homelessness. That was sort of a very brief use of the building. So it's seen some action. Alec, what attracted the owners to this property? It seems like a lot of work to transform an old jail.
Yeah. So the bones of the building were really what attracted us to it. So, and location, you know, if you look at a map of downtown and you see over the Rhine, you see downtown, and you look to the east, you've got hills. To the north, you've got hills. To the west, there's open space, right? And the west end is very dense. There's not a lot of buildings that would make sense for our model. Typically, we look for buildings of a certain size with a certain type of structure that lend themselves to this small business artist studio space. So the location, Arend looked at more than 10 buildings, and this was ironically the first building we looked at and the one that we kept going back to. So, you know, we walked in, there were a lot of magnetic locks and some very interesting gang bathrooms, but you kind of look through and you could see the amazing light, the amazing views, the proximity to downtown. And for downtown, having, you know, 150 spots, parking on location was huge for us.
Oh, 150 parking spots. Yeah, that's a
yes.
Big deal. What kind of tenants are you trying to attract to this property?
So we have other buildings in Milwaukee, in Racine. And, you know, we started really thinking about artists and makers space, and the buildings organically evolved over 15 years to include a whole, you know, smorgasbord, right? First, it was the architects that worked with the artists, and then, you know, the small business person that showed up and said, I would like affordable space, right? I'm just trying to get out of my garage. I'm trying to get out of my basement. And so, you know, we pride ourselves on creating space that's very flexible, whether you're doing a tech startup, you're a painter who needs space for after hours, an architect, you know, in-home healthcare office, we kind of see it all. But it's the people, you know, it's the makers, it's the entrepreneurs that are trying to get out of their garage, get out of the house, find something that's flexible and they can really make their own.
Yeah. Tony, you're an artist. You're one of the tenants in Lincinnati. What made this an attractive spot for your studio and for the work you do?
I have a background with this building. So used to work there when it was a jail. I used to work with the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department. When I started out with them, I was at the jail. And in 2019, I started doing art full time. I've been working out of Essex Studios in Walnut Hills for the past 9 years. And I just saw a post on Facebook that Alec made about them opening up this studio. And I'm like, I might as well check it out. And when he messaged me the address, I was a little surprised to find out it was the jail. And so like, I got to go see it. And it blew my expectations out of the water. I thought it was great. I loved the vision that they had for it. And I thought maybe it might be a revitalizing change of scenery for me. So I decided to take a leap and go in there. Yeah. They got a great vision for the place.
Yeah. As an artist, I'm sure you're always looking for inspiration, and a change of scenery can help. Yeah.
Got a nice view of the city. It's great.
Yeah. How affordable is the space for you as an artist, as a, you know, a business owner, as an artist at Cincinnati compared to other places where you've been?
It's very affordable. It's not too far off from what I was paying at Essex, but it's got better amenities for what I was getting. And you know, it's definitely, you know, if you're looking for a spot, it can suit your needs for a good price.
Yeah. We're talking about the redevelopment of Queensgate Correctional Facility into office spaces. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Alec, what kind of rents are you charging tenants? Are you looking to be an affordable option for folks?
Yeah. You know, my partner, Andy, we always make the joke that we're not fancy, but we're painted and clean. And I believe that we've reached a finish level that's a little bit better than that even. Because, you know, the buildings have evolved over time as we figure out how to do this smarter and better. So, you know, the prices vary a little bit. The price per square foot, we don't have an exact number. Depending on, does the studio have windows? Is it a funky shape? Most of them are not in this building, but in our other buildings, you know, when we're trying to break these floors up to make the most use of every square inch, that's a variable. We work really, really hard on the development side to keep costs very low so that this is both affordable on the front end, but a sustainable model over time. So the buildings that we have, you know, some of which are almost 15 years old now up in Milwaukee, I mean, we're still seeing very affordable rents. You know, our leases cover utilities, so there's not extra costs on top of the tenants. The only thing that they would pay for, should they desire it, is internet, and that's directly with AltaFiber. So, you know, keeping costs down, keeping it very simple. You come in, and that's part of why this building was so attractive. We need good bones because we're not in the business of building out, you know, class A office space, right? So having, you know, in this case, it's polished concrete is what we do upstairs, right? We paint everything, we put up fresh drywall, a little bit of insulation and soundproofing, but you're really relying, you're leaning heavy on those windows, on the natural state of the building to work for you. And that's how we kind of keep those prices down.
And I thought I saw, I could be remembering this incorrectly, in some of the coverage that it's about $1 a square foot. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's kind of a nice ballpark. I always tell folks, you know, if you've got the square footage of a studio and you add, you know, $80 plus or minus somewhere in there, we're probably okay as far as, you know, an estimate for you.
Chris, how affordable is that compared to other office space that's available in or near downtown? Because this location is right next to downtown.
I couldn't quote you the per square foot, but this is extremely affordable compared to that. Even with the glut of office space that's kind of become available downtown Cincinnati. Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what you would want if you were starting out with the business and didn't want, you know, like they've said, you want to get out of your house, right? You want to, if you're a maker or something of that nature, and you don't want to be in your house all day or your apartment, this is a way to go to get you out. And it also gets you among other people who are doing similar things. And so, yeah, startups and all of those are, you know, they're going to be able to afford this in a way that they cannot afford a downtown office space.
And Chris, talk a little bit more about how this project fits into Queensgate. I mean, that you kind of mentioned it before. It's a neighborhood with a lot of different things going on.
Yeah, you know, nearby there's, you know, there's an architecture firm that has kind of planted stakes there. But generally, Queensgate is fairly industrial, right? There's Nehemiah Manufacturing is there. And so, you know, when the city and the state and the federal government built I-75, of course, they cut off part of the West End and, you know, renamed it Queensgate. And the vision was to kind of have this as an industrial center. It's attracted some of those types of businesses, but not very many of them. And so I think it's Queensgate's a neighborhood in transition. And we see a lot of other cities when folks like Aaron open up, you know, warehouses like this for office space, it tends to bring other types of folks who want the same thing. And then eventually, theoretically, people could maybe want to live there. And One of the things the city and the state are doing as they reconstruct I-75 and the Brent Spence Bridge project is to try to reconnect Queensgate better to downtown. Basically, what the plan is to kind of restore the street grid between downtown and Queensgate, which it's not easy to walk there. It's not pleasant to walk in, by any stretch of the imagination, but it is so close to downtown that with the right design and architecture on those connections over the highway, it could really become an extension of downtown and a you know, thriving, different neighborhood than it is today.
Alec, Chris mentioned that a development like this can kind of attract other uses. Is that what Arend has seen in Wisconsin and other places where you've had developments like this?
Yeah. So great example, actually, in Milwaukee, Lincoln Warehouse is the name of our very first development, so sort of ground zero for this concept. And that started, I mean, it was building out a studio and seeing if it leased. I think it was Craigslist at the time. Leased real fast. And then, you know, three studios leased real fast. So that building, which is slightly larger than Lincinnati, now sits across the street from hundreds of apartments and street-level commercial space and a parking garage, a marina, right? So we don't historically do residential, but we love to see what comes of, you know, the interest in an area once you get that kind of activity.
Well, and I believe I'm remembering correctly that the jail once housed as many as 800 inmates. How many businesses do you think will be able to fit in Lincinnati once it's finished? Because you're still kind of building it out, if I understand.
Yeah, so we have several more floors and two annex buildings still to come. Our rough estimate is we would have somewhere in the ballpark of 140 suites. But it's worth noting, even now, some of the upcoming tenants are taking two suites instead of just one, right? So we can connect two, three. I mean, we have tenants in Milwaukee that grew from 400 square feet to 4,000, right? We love to see the tenants do well and grow with them. So the short answer is we'll have about 140 suites on paper. You know, how many small businesses and artists end up in this one project will depend on how leasing goes over the next, you know, 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Are there other buildings in the region that could, you know, do this, get this type of treatment, do you think?
We are actively pursuing that idea.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, here goes Chris Wetterich. Chris Wetterich trying to break some news here on Cincinnati Edition. We appreciate you, Chris. Tony, you mentioned you were familiar with this building because you had worked there before. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about what you used to do at the jail when it was a jail and just how different it was to look in there and see this transformation beginning.
Okay. I was a corrections officer. I worked the floor. I'd have about anywhere from 50 to 60 inmates on my side. So the floors were separated one side and a two side. So, you know, when you walked off the elevator, you turn left and you come in and there's the officer's restroom and then the phone area. And it was an open floor facility, so the beds were kind of like cubicles. But, you know, it was just two officers per floor. So, you know, 110 inmates per two deputies.
Sounds like it can be an intense job.
Yes and no. It depended how you dealt with your floor. The other thing too is it was minimal security. So it's not like you had your really bad guys in there that, you know, you just had guys that were, you know, made mistakes and were in there. But it was just a different experience.
Yeah. So what was it like to walk in there to check out these new spaces?
It was unreal. Walking in there, and it was funny because when Alec first took me through, I was just trying to envision it as we were walking through, trying to figure out, okay, this is what this used to be. Like I've told everybody before, where I'm at is where the showers used to be. So seeing the wall cut out there, and, you know, I still got the drain pipe. Yeah. You know, but, you know, it's just, I couldn't get over how much they had changed. And I mean, it just shows that they are really making that effort to make this a great space. And I mean, just turning a negative into a positive is just an amazing thing.
Yeah. Did you have any second thoughts? Like, based just, I mean, it doesn't sound like you had a bad experience working there, but
no.
Just like, did you have any, I don't know if I want to relive this artist.
I never, you know what? I really never had a bad experience as a jail guard when I was there. I, you know, it, you made it of it what you could. So going back there, actually, it was a little nostalgic, and it's a fun part of my journey as an artist to bring that back and go full circle.
Yeah. Chris, you mentioned before how this is very near the Brent Spence Bridge renovation project. Talk a little bit more about the potential that you think this could open up. I mean, you talked about the street grid, the potential for other developments. How much do you think this could be the start of something more for Queensgate?
Yeah, it's interesting. We just had a cover story that ran on Friday about, you know, kind of about the changes to Queensgate and or the changes to the project itself. And one of the things that the advocates on Bridge Forward group, which have really urged that the states kind of rethink at least the approach on the Ohio side, is you know, they've encouraged them to think about building kind of wide bridges. So, like, for example, when I'm going to maybe get the exact street number wrong, but 6th Street, what 6th Street is kind of restored as a through the grid from downtown to Queensgate, that there'd be enough clearance on the bridge for the road, but also where you could put buildings on either side of the street as it runs through on a bridge. And the city has already proposed that, and it's in ODOT's plans, the Transportation Department's plans, to do that on Ezra Charles Drive. And so what they're urging ODOT and the city, and it seems like it's a city initiative that's going to have to happen. The city's going to have to request this from ODOT to really consider doing that model with other streets that will pass over I-75 as it goes to the Brent Spence Bridge. Not too early to tell whether that will actually happen. I think that the city, you know, would tell you that they want to create as much of an urban landscape through downtown and Queensgate as they can as this project is done. Of course, everything, you know, costs money. And so that's, you know, that's a question as well. And, you know, how much can you spend and how much building can you put on one of these very wide bridges? But it's something that ODOT has done before or is doing, for example, in Columbus, as they've tried to. It's more of a partial cap rather than a full cap, like we've seen envisioned for Fort Washington Way, but it's something that they believe can be done and would be a big plus for Queensgate. Hmm.
Tony, as an artist, you know, you talked about how the cost worked for you with this. Cincinnati, I think, you know, for a long time had a reputation as being a pretty affordable place for artists with studio space available in neighborhoods like Camp Washington. You mentioned that you were at the Essex and Walnut Hills. Has it been getting harder for artists to find that affordable space to work in Cincinnati?
Yeah, there's few known spaces for a lot of artists. I mean, Essex was a big space for artists. It's an old manufacturing building that or a textile factory, and then you also have Pendleton, which is well known and for a lot of the art collectors. And that, you know, the turnover at Pendleton, it's not great. So, and that's how it is. There's people that are on wait lists for both of those buildings. So it's nice to have a new building space that artists can get a jump on. It's also, you're creating another community for artists as well. And that's the hard part. And you got Wavepool Gallery, which is another one. There's a lot of good spaces, but it's just artists, you know, are having issues trying to figure out, well, where can I go? So I think this gives another avenue for artists. It you know, it can turn into so much. I mean, this is a lot of opportunity for any artist trying to establish themselves.
Yeah. Alec, what are the visions for the future of this building? It sounds like some of your future plans maybe go beyond the office space and maybe into like events and things like that. What's the vision for the future of this whole development?
So first and foremost, it's to get it leased. So to finish, you know, we know that at least floors 2 through 7 will be artists and small business studios.
How many floors total are there?
8.
8, okay.
So, you know, get the floors finished that we know very much, you know, what the model is. Get them full. You know, to Tony's point, we've been very, very happy with our tenants. That, you know, the building is as valuable as the community that we create within it. And it's an extremely interesting community. I mean, it's very much self-selected for people who want to be involved. They want to be engaged with people. They want to keep their doors open. And you know, it's not just artists and it's not just startup, you know, I mean, Union Hall is fabulous. Pendleton is fabulous, but this is something different. You know, I mean, you've got painters on the same floor with, you know, we have a canine therapy office moving in across from Tony. So, you know, I mean, it's a complete mismatch, and people get a lot of excitement out of that. So finishing those floors off, you know, the other thing that's interesting about our model is we don't ourselves open businesses. So Lincoln Warehouse is a great example. Lincoln has three microbreweries, a distillery, a chocolate maker, a rage room. They all share the first floor. It's a really cool story, but the microbreweries in that building all started on the second floor in a studio. And as they needed more space, they moved to the first floor, and then they would find a buddy who wanted to brew, and he moved into the second floor. So actually last year, they all released a line of beer where all the breweries named the beer Sweet, I think it's 205, but all made it their own way. And one of those breweries now owns its own building. So part of what we're hoping with things like this and with the word of mouth of our tenants is to find our partners on this, right? We have a big, beautiful first floor with some really exciting spaces and lots of space that can be reimagined. We're working on some other concepts that we won't go into too much depth on, but you know, we do have to find the right partners, right? So part of this is us having a vision. Yes, we have a vision for some space and what we'd like to see go there. If anybody, you know, with coffee and sandwiches wants to give me a call, I'd love to talk to them. But it's also, you know, you never know what person with the right vision and the right resources is going to show up and say, you know, I want to open this. And it's something that we've never thought of, right? And that's what's made the other building so successful.
Yeah. You also have a rooftop with some pretty great views, don't you?
We do have a 13,000 square foot rooftop with great views.
Yeah. Well, all sounds very exciting. I've been talking with artist Tony Lips, Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist Chris Wetterich, and Aaron Real Estate building representative Alec Lukey. Thank you all so much for your time today. It's been a lot of fun.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Our technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can listen to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.